You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, Ricardo Gonçalves here with SBS On The Money for this Monday, the 11th of January 2020. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, do-it-yourself shares continue to rise in popularity, what you need to know. But first, let's start with retail sales because they surged 7.1% in November, according to the Bureau of Statistics. $31.6 billion worth of goods and services sold, and that's as the Melbourne restrictions were wound down. And amid a rise in popularity of the Black Friday sales, because that happened in November, year on year sales surged more than 13%. So, with consumer spending, are retailers really discounting prices? For more, I spoke with Gary Mortimer, a marketing professor at QUT.
Gary, almost $32 billion was spent in November. How would you describe that?
Yeah, listen, a significant increase. That's a 13.3% increase on November the previous year. And even October's sales were really strong, a 7% growth in October reported as well. I mean, we just don't see double-digit increases in retail spend reported on the ABS, since the ABS has been tracking retail spending.
So November's when Melburnians came out of lockdown for that full month, the first time for the full month. So how much of that contributed to the retail numbers?
Yeah, Victoria posted very, very strong results. So if we compare October to November in Victoria, it was a 22% increase. Victorians spent essentially $1.8 billion more in November than they did in October.
Where were Australians spending in November?
Listen, across the board, although food and groceries for the very first time was relatively flat, I think we've shopped that pretty hard over the last 6 months. I guess the two big surprises were consumer electronics. That jumped up significantly. And the biggest result came in fashion, accessories and footwear, a sector that's been traditionally challenged over the last couple of years.
And November also encapsulates those online spending events like Black Friday. Just how significant have those events become?
Yeah, listen, really strong. I think as far as 2019 was the first time we saw November sales actually beat the traditional busy Christmas December sales period. It looks like that will happen again. We had Click Frenzy at the beginning of November. At the back of November was, of course, Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Aussie spent about $3.6 billion in November online. And the growth, if we look annually, it's looking towards about a 40% growth. And normally in Australia, we spend about $28, $29 billion. It's looking that we'll get to about $45 billion this year online.
Why do you think shoppers are shopping the way they are right now?
I guess there's a couple of reasons. Number one, we're not travelling, certainly internationally, and even domestic travel is challenging as borders close and shut all the time. So that money we would normally expend on travel and holidays, it's in our pockets or it's our bank accounts, and we're now spending it in stores and services. I think the other thing we're doing is that the cash benefits that many people have received. So, job keeper payments, job seeker payments with the extra subsidy there. That money is simply being spent across industry.
So given the tougher economic environment, we went through a recession. Aren't consumers worried about that?
Yeah, listen, apparently not. Ultimately, what we're seeing is, I guess, two types of consumers, that flight and fight response that we see in general human behaviour when we have times of uncertainty or concern or risk. Those people may be cocooning at home and they're conscious or anxious about going out, but they've shifted to online purchasing because they're still getting the same cash subsidies that everybody else is. But they also may be doing things around the house to make themselves feel good. So, redecorating their homes, maybe painting a couple of bedrooms. And we've seen that, pull out in sort of Bunnings numbers. So hardware, do-it-yourself, really strong this year as a result of people working around the house.
So if there's all this money flowing through to the economy, right, who holds the balance of power when it comes to shopping? Is it the consumer or the retailer? And does the retailer need to discount then?
Yeah, really good question. I mean, obviously, we've seen really strong retail results over the last 4 or 5 months now. And one would imagine that really there would be no need or very little need to discount. But in fact, we still see discounting and strong promotional activity across the sector. While we've got money to spend and there's money burning a hole in our pockets, there's still a lot of competition in the marketplace. So retailers are still certainly competing for your shopper's dollar and that foot traffic through the front door.
We've seen also the rise during the pandemic of buy now, pay later services. Have they really aided these retail numbers?
Yeah, they certainly have. And they grow month on month. And we've seen really successful uptake of those buy now, pay later schemes. Now, obviously, they've replicated or they've replaced, I guess, the old lay-by that retailers used to have a few years ago, where retailers would hold product for you, you pay it off in small instalments, and then eventually you take that product away. These new schemes obviously now remove that need, you know, for retailers to simply hold product. And ultimately, retailers don't want to hold product. They want to turn product over. So, listen, if used responsibly, I think those types of schemes actually enable consumers to access product very quickly, as long as they're making those payments back in a responsible manner.
That was Gary Mortimer, Marketing Professor at QUT. To the Australian share market now, which started the working week lower. The S&P ASX 200 down 0.9% to 6,697. Tech and gold stocks led the decline. CSL was down 1.5%. BHP also weaker. The best performer on the 200 was Mesoblast, up 14% on positive results for a drug test. For more, I spoke earlier with Matt Shearwood from Perpetual. Matt, the market's down today. Why?
Well, there actually isn't too many reasons why it's down today, other than we had a really strong week last week, and there's probably just a little bit of profit taking. And there are some more questions about the impact of, you know, rising US bond yields and valuations, but there was actually no fundamental reason why it was off today other than profit taking.
Chinese CPI inflation rose 0.2%. That beat expectations. We've seen China really drive those commodity prices lately. What are the opportunities for investors there?
Yeah, well, the Chinese economy has performed incredibly strongly, since the March quarter last year. They've already achieved a complete recovery in the goods sector and almost also in the services sector already. So the economy is performing very, very strongly. That, of course, has had flow and effects to commodity prices. And a lot of the commodity prices now, other than and energy, are really up at 10-year highs. And so, you know, a lot of good news has been priced in there. And that's not saying that the global economy is going to be weak this year. It's not. It's going to be very, very strong. But you know, decade highs in base metal prices and broader commodity prices does suggest that a lot of the good news is priced in. And as such, investors may need to look elsewhere if they wanted to add to these gains, which have been pretty impressive so far.
Can we talk Bitcoin? And I know it's not directly linked to the share market, right?
Yep.
But we've seen lots of Bitcoin ads at the moment. Anecdotally, we're starting to see a lot more consumer interest in it, and it's soared eightfold since March. What do you tell clients when they ask you about Bitcoin?
Well, the one thing I ask them, I say, okay, well, what is Bitcoin? You explain it to me. And they say, oh, it's another currency. It's not issued by a government. And then I sit there and say, okay, well, what's its advantage? And its advantage, of course, is it's completely unregulated. The problem, of course, as Bitcoin gets bigger and bigger, the more likely it is going to be regulated by either central banks or governments or both. So to me, I look at it and say it's a very hard asset to actually put a value on because it doesn't necessarily produce cash flow. As a result, I sit there and say, well, if you can't value the asset, then it's probably from a risk perspective, it's not really worth putting your money at play because there's a lot of downside risk coming forward with Bitcoin through, you know, central banks and government regulations. And that will take away a lot of its advantages that it currently enjoys. And of course, the rise more recently has been underpinned by the falling US dollar, falling gold prices and so on. So there is a cyclical element to that also. So investors need to be wary about investments they just don't understand rather than just following the price and thinking that it's just going to continue to move higher. You know, asset prices don't work that way in general, even though it can be tempting and alluring to see, prices just continue to move higher.
And finally, since it's the first time I'm speaking to you this year, what do you see as the key themes for 2021?
I think there's going to be three key themes in 2021. The first one's going to be economic reopening. The second one is going to be the vaccine, which will break the correlation between mobility and virus numbers. And I think the third one is going to be massive fiscal stimulus, particularly in the US. And we've already seen a $900 billion fiscal program enacted by President Trump. And overnight, President Biden said that he's going to enact another large spending program. So fiscal spending, particularly in the US, is going to be very, very large this year. And, you know, I tend to think that's going to really underpin global growth rising to around its highest level in the last 50 years. So global growth is going to be very robust. That's going to make it easy for corporations to achieve 20 to 30% earnings growth. You know, but a lot of that's been priced in. So, you know, I tend to think it's going to be a strong growth year. Returns may not be as good as earnings growth, but I still think it's going to be a pretty upbeat one as long as the COVID strains from the UK and South Africa remain contained. That's probably the biggest risk case, is that the evolution or the mutation of the virus starts to get ahead of the vaccine. And at the moment, we're not sure how that's playing out, but there certainly are tail risks that you do need to take into account when managing your portfolio.
Matt Sherwood there from Perpetual. He's the head of investment strategy. And ending on a bit of a basic share market 101 type story, even though the markets started 2021, not necessarily in the strongest of ways, remember since March, the share market is up around 50%. And so that's attracted many novice investors to use do-it-yourself share platforms. Self Wealth, it's one of them. It's a budget trader, said that active users surged 208% year on year. So if you are using a budget online trading platform and are doing it yourself, what do you need to know? I spoke earlier with financial coach David Rankin. David, just how popular has online trading become, especially for novice investors?
It's become pretty huge, Ricardo, in the past 12 months especially. Retail investors now actually make up a fifth of stock volumes in the US, which is double what it was a decade ago. And a lot of that acceleration has been experienced in the past year.
Okay, so what are the pros of using, say, a budget broker, especially for those inexperienced investors?
Well, I guess it's all about the accessibility, which is usually the story with technology, isn't it? It's about lower fees, more accessibility, more control and flexibility that those online tools provide. And the fact also that you, from your couch, you can monitor your investments in real time.
On the flip side, what are the cons for inexperienced investors?
The fact that you're not really buying into fundamentals. You tend to be buying into trends. So there's a lot of FOMO, which is fear of missing out. And you tend to be following the herd without doing your research and finding out stock fundamentals.
So what would you say to those new users trying to tap into the share market with limited knowledge, or working on those, you know, my friend told me about this particular stock, so I need to get on board kind of theory?
I think that the old rules of research are gone in some ways. And I think finding that out from your friend is a start. I think you need to find it out from a second friend and a third friend, and then do research on top of that. It tends to be the danger if you're a novice investor is that you will pile in on the top of artificial inflation of existing share valuations and you'll just add to it. So I think the most important thing is to hold your horses, do the research and take your time. And it's the old fashioned virtue of patience, which is really called for here.
David Rankin there, financial coach, and of course always get some professional financial advice to make sure your decisions are right for you. That is SBS On The Money for this Monday, the 11th of January 2021. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Business Ricardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.